From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. It may surprise some, but women explorers are not a modern phenomenon. For centuries, women have left what was familiar to embark on voyages of discovery. Often these women went beyond the mores of their society and, in the face of formidable challenges, helped to expand the world's body of knowledge. Most of these women have remained unknown, and no small number died alone or forgotten. As author Milbrey Polk writes, to go beyond the narrow perimeters set by culture was usually to become an outlaw, literally to be cast out by society to die. Milbrey Polk is herself an explorer, and she's written a new book called Women of Discovery, Celebration of Intrepid Women Who Explored the World. She hopes to bring some of these women out of obscurity. Milbrey Polk joined me in the studios of Living on Earth. Milbrey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Before we get into some specific stories, tell me what the research process was like for this book, considering that many of these women are unknown or little known to history.
The research process was a long and serendipitous one. It's not a subject that you can easily go to the library and look up. So we found a lot of these women in footnotes of other books. Or I'd be at a dinner party and somebody would say, "Women explorers, well, there was that crazy woman who was down in the Amazon 20 years ago, but she's probably dead." So then I would follow up on who that was. So in the end, we chose about 84 women that covered 2,000 years of history, more than a dozen different nationalities, and their endeavors crossed a wide swath of interests from every kind of science to art and geography and painting, whatever their particular means were. And honestly, we chose most of them because we really liked them.
In your book, there's a picture of Mary Henrietta Kingsley. And in this picture, she's dressed in the proper attire for her era, Victorian England. She's got a hat, a parasol, gloves. But Kingsley, in her 30s, traveled to the Congo as a trader at the time when that part of Africa was known as the white man's graveyard. What motivated her, and what was her experience in Africa?
When she was young, her father had a perfect horror of educated women, and he only allowed her to learn German so she could translate articles for him. But he was luckily gone a lot, and so she could go into his library where she educated herself. When her parents died in her early 30s, her brother wrote her a letter saying, "Now that our parents are dead, you can move in and take care of me the way you took care of them." But instead, she decided to blow her small inheritance on a ticket to the Canary Islands, which was quite a brave thing to do. And she went there, and it was when she was there she heard about this perfectly dreadful place that you were guaranteed to die within 6 months called the White Man's Graveyard, and that's where she wanted to go. She went home to England, got a small commission from the British Museum to collect fish, and outfitted herself as a trader so she could support herself paddling up and down the tributaries, buying and selling. And she learned the language of the Fang, who were then greatly feared as cannibals. She traveled widely with them and was really entranced with their way of life. And let me describe, read a passage where she describes the, who she called the Fan, because she didn't want to give them their real name, which was Fang, and that they're called that because they filed their teeth into points. She described them as full of fire, temper, intelligence, and go. But I ought to confess, people who have known him better than I do say he is a treacherous, thievish, murderous cannibal. I never found him treacherous or thievish, and I like him better than any African as a tribe I have yet met. He is a cannibal, not from superstitious motives like the Negro tribes. He just does it in his common sense way. Man's flesh, he assures me, is very good, and he wishes I would try it. She, by the way, is not the only woman in the book who spent time with people feared as cannibals. There are a couple of others. And maybe also it's because they were unarmed women who had a purpose, that they were really taken up by these people and not feared or otherwise harmed. And one thing that Kingsley quickly determined was that the spiritual life of these people, she felt, was on par with Christianity, which at the time, you have to remember, every little town, had its own missionary society, that people were busy raising money to send out their missionaries to convert the heathens around the world. So they didn't want to hear that the heathens had something that didn't need converting.
She also has something to say about proper attire while in the Congo, doesn't she? What does she say about that?
Well, she felt that it, like a proper Victorian, that she wanted to greet the people of Africa the same way that she would greet her own people on her. So she wanted to show them the respect that she would show in her own street. So she wanted to dress the way she was in Africa, the same way that she dressed in England. And actually, quite a few women felt that way, too. It was a sign of respect for the people that you were encountering. And she actually credits her thick skirts with saving her life, because she fell into a pit that had sharpened stakes in it for capturing animals, and she landed on her skirts, and the stakes couldn't penetrate her skirts. So she wrote about the blessings of a good thick skirt.
Milbury Polk is co-author of Women of Discovery, a celebration of intrepid women who explored the world.
I curled up on the boxes with my head on the tobacco sack and dozed. Waking up, I noticed the smell in the hut was violent. Knocking the ash off a smoldering bush light that lay burning on the floor, I investigated and tracked it to a bag. I shook its contents out in my hat for fear of losing anything of value. They were a human hand, three big toes, four eyes, two ears, and other portions of the human frame. The hand was fresh, the others only so-so and shriveled. Replacing them, I tied the bag up and hung it up again. Subsequently, I learned that although the fans will eat their fellow friendly tribes, they like to keep a little something belonging to them as a memento. This touching trait in their character I learned from Wiki, my guide. Still, it's an unpleasant practice when they hang the remains in the bedroom you occupy.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.